And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blast-off. X minus one.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
All right, welcome everyone to the WGN Radio Theater. This is show 94 in the series. It is 11:06 on a Sunday night, July 10th, 2016. I'm your host, Carl Amari. To my right, the vivacious, the dimply, Lisa Wolf. Very dimply.
Yeah, every day it's a little bit bigger. Dimples.
Yeah, and you have a very vivacious, effervescent quality about you tonight, Lisa.
Well, thank you, Carl.
You look wonderful.
Oh, come on.
And your hair is glowing.
Oh, please.
And that's all very important for radio.
Yes, I know.
You need all of that. Mike Estella, our executive producer, is here. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
And Elif Garris, our producer, is in the booth. Hi, Elif. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Terrific. I'm ready for a fun 3 hours on the WGN Radio Theater tonight. And into the wee hours of the night, we're going to tune into a salute to Ann Southern, a wonderful actress, comedian, and dramatic actress as well. And you're going to hear her on The Adventures of Maisie to start things off in just a few minutes. Then she stars on Suspense, and we'll hear her as a guest on the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis Show from 1952. All of this is brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor will star as the head of the space program in the drama Hidden Figures.
Okay, what do they win?
They will win a pair of tickets to see My Son the Waiter, a Jewish tragedy, now playing at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts.
That number to call, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actor portrayed Elliot Ness in the Untouchables movie.
I want to get Capone. I don't know how to get him.
All right, there you have it. If you know who that actor is, call us 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
Welcome back. You found us. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop, and let's play that movie clip again.
I want to get Capone. I don't know how to get him.
And we've got Dave on the line. Hi, Dave.
Hi.
Glad to hear from you. Do you recognize that voice?
Kevin Costner.
Yes, you are right. I know that voice anywhere. Dave, you are a winner. You've won two tickets to see My Son the Waiter, a Jewish tragedy. It's playing right now at the North Shore Center for Performing Arts through August 7th. It's 90
minutes.
I'll
have a couple of pork chops.
Yeah. Come, you can laugh at me. You can laugh at the show. It's about a man's struggle to make it as an actor in New York. So you can check them out at NorthShoreCenter.org. I hope that you enjoy the show. And Dave, be sure to let us know what you think.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dave, very much.
All right. It's time for our first classic radio show of the evening. It's The Adventures of Maisie. You know, Lisa, I had a really fun time interviewing Ann Southern years ago. She's passed away now, but I interviewed Ann Southern. She was so much fun. We have a recording of it. We are not going to play it tonight because we're pretty jam-packed, but on a future edition of the WGN Radio Theater, when I play an Adventures of Maisie episode, Mike, we have to play a little of that interview because she was just so much fun, wasn't she?
For sure,
that
definitely.
That was a great interview. Okay, so Ann Southern starred as Maisie Revere and in the movies, and it was such a success that they decided to do a radio version of it. And she starred in the radio show as well as the movie series. It began on CBS Radio in 1945. And it was also heard on NBC and Mutual. Great supporting cast on these shows. Hi Averback, Arthur Q. Bryan, Hans Conried, Virginia Gregg, Peter Leeds, and Sidney Miller. You'll hear them all in this episode. And the movie series ran from 1939 all the way to 1947. She made several of these Maisie films. They were quite successful. Maisie was a kind of a beautiful, sassy, like you, Lisa, beautiful, sassy, street smart American working girl turned woman of the world type of gal. You know,
yeah,
like,
I'm clearly not street smart based on our conversation of last night. But other than that, I'll take it.
You mean
it.
When the two con artists in New York got you for
definitely not
two tickets
smart.
To Amy Schumer? You were Schumerized.
It was taken.
You
for
know
a
what?
Ride.
I would have fell for it.
Yeah,
same
I fell
thing.
For it.
I would have been like, Amy Schumer tickets?
She's just down the street. The show's about to
I'm
start.
I'm like, how much? $30 each.
Yeah.
Oh, here you go.
I did.
Here's a 20 and a 10.
I did, and we were on our way.
Well, all
yeah.
right.
Okay.
Well, you learned a lesson.
I sure did.
Stick to
Chicago.
stick to Chicago broadcasting here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, it's time for The Adventures of Maisie. Good comedy. Let's go back to September 28th, 1950. This is called Tag Along Cassidy. It stars Ann Southern in part one of The Adventures of Maisie.
Hiya, babe. Say, how about... Ouch.
Does that answer your question, buddy?
The Adventures of Maisie, starring Ann Southern. You all remember Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's famous Maisie Pictures. In just a moment, you'll hear Maisie in Radio, starring the same glamorous star you all went to see and loved on the screen, Ann Southern. Now here's Ann Southern as Maisie.
Yep, I'm Maisie, like the man said, Maisie Revere. Just a hard-working girl who wants to get married. It runs in our family, I guess. I come from a long line of married people. And I got me a fella, too. Eddie Jordan. He lives in my boarding house, Mrs. Kennedy's place. And he's my fiancé. Fiancé. That's French for so what's the hurry about getting married? Eddie works in an insurance office, and his boss says he's dependable, steady, and reliable. So you see, he don't make much money. That's why our entertainment usually consists of such exciting things as sitting in the grass alongside the George Washington Bridge and counting the out-of-town cars. But tonight, Eddie's going to take me out formal. It's sort of a surprise. He don't know about it yet. The occasion? Well, it's sort of an anniversary, and... Yeah, who is it?
It's me, Maisie, Eddie. I got a surprise for you, honey. On my way home from work, I stopped and got a hamburger for you.
Oh, gee, Eddie, then you didn't forget our anniversary. Come in, darling.
Maisie, did you say anniversary?
Well, certainly, darling. Don't tell me you've forgotten what day this is.
Oh, of course not, sweetheart. Happy birthday.
Eddie Jordan, it's not my birthday. Today is exactly 1 year, 4 months, and 8 days since...
Since what?
Well, since we first met.
Oh, yeah.
Well?
Well, what?
Well, you're taking me to celebrate.
To celebrate what?
Eddie, you just haven't been listening. To celebrate our anniversary. Or have you already forgotten that today is exactly 1 year, 4 months...
Okay, okay.
Oh, then you did plan to take me someplace. You just can't keep anything a secret, can you?
No, I'm a regular blabbermouth. Maisie, where am I? I mean, any place in particular you want to go to celebrate this very important day?
Oh, of course not, Eddie. I'll go any place you want to take me, even if it's a nightclub.
Nightclub?
A nightclub? Oh, Eddie, that's a wonderful idea. How did you ever happen to think of it?
Oh, it just came to my mind when I wasn't thinking. Look, have you picked out any particular nightclub that I've decided to take you to yet?
Oh, of course not, darling. This is your night. Your night to have fun. And I'll tag along to any club, even if it's the Ritz Gardens.
The Ritz Gardens? Well, I like that.
You do? Oh, so do I. I'll be ready at 8.
Gee, Maisie, if you think that...
That I'm the kind that wants to talk her fella out of doing what he thinks he owes his fiancée, and she'd be heartbroken if she didn't go, then you're wrong. I'll go right down to the Ritz Gardens and make sure they give us a good table. Oh, mister. Hey, mister.
Yes, miss, you wish to speak to me?
Yeah. You're the head waiter here at this club, aren't you?
If you don't mind, miss, I'm the maitre d'. Now, there's something you desire.
Yes, yeah. You see, I've got a boyfriend, and he don't make much money, so therefore he can't afford to spend very much, can he?
Your logic is quite refreshing, madam.
I thought so. That's why I'd like to reserve a ringside table that wouldn't cost too much.
Oh, a nice cheap ringside table.
Yeah. It shouldn't be too close to the orchestra and not too far.
Yes.
We'd like it close enough to see the whole floor show. Mm-hmm. And we'd prefer it right under a nice romantic palm tree.
Naturally, madam. When can you come in for the fitting?
Gee, sir, wouldn't you have just a tiny little table someplace? Just for two? Huh? Please?
Well, miss, there is one. No, I wouldn't give that table to my own wife.
Oh, well, we'll just take anything as long as tonight Eddie and me have each other.
Very well, miss. But don't expect too much. And as far as the palm tree is concerned...
You mean the table's under a palm tree?
Well, not exactly under it, more behind it.
Oh, but we can see the floor show.
Not exactly see it. More...
Hear it?
Yes, but faintly.
Well, beggars can't be choosers, I always say. We'll take it.
Oh, that's a brave girl.
Yeah, and I hope Eddie can walk real fast going to the dance floor. If he don't, by the time he gets there, his tuxedo may be out of style. Who is it?
It's me, Maisie.
Oh, come in, Mrs. Kennedy.
Maisie, I just came up to tell you that this... Yoo-hoo!
It's the new evening gown I bought, Mrs. Kennedy. I mean, borrowed for tonight. Do you like it?
It's shocking.
Oh, gee, thanks. Suits my personality, don't you think? I mean, it brings out the real me.
Yes, in several places.
I'm wearing it tonight at the Ritz Gardens.
Oh, I understand all the cigarette girls there dress sort of undressy like that. Takes the customers' minds off the short changing, I imagine.
Oh, I'm not working there, Mrs. Kennedy. I'm being taken.
Oh! Now, look, Maisie, honey, I know I'm just your landlady, and it's really none of my business, but you can't trust any of them Broadway playboys.
Well, you don't have to worry about this little Broadway playboy, Mrs. Kennedy. Eddie ain't the taking advantage of a girl type.
Eddie?
Yeah. You can always tell what he's planning to do next, darn it.
You mean Eddie, your Eddie, is going to spend money on you, real money?
Yeah. And I feel a little guilty about it. Well, you know, tricking him into it. The poor guy works like a beaver for what he gets. Maybe I should call the whole thing off, don't you think?
I certainly don't think.
Oh, well, you mean a girl should have a little excitement in her life, make a few beautiful memories to look back to when she's old and gray?
Yes.
Ah, Mrs. Kennedy, you have such a convincing way of putting things.
Go ahead and have fun while you're young, Maisie. Fun and excitement. Oh, I tell you, there's nothing like a handsome man holding you in his arms while the orchestra's playing soft, sweet music.
Why, Mrs. Kennedy, don't tell me that some handsome man's ever done that with you.
Well, not exactly. That's just a little game I sometimes play with my arteries. Maisie, there's nothing like having a friend. That's it. I almost forgot.
What's that?
Well, the reason I came up here, you've got a visitor, Maisie, downstairs in the parlor. Mildred Cassidy.
Millie Cassidy? Why, I haven't seen her in years. I wonder if she's changed.
Well, she has beautiful hair. It's red.
She's changed. You know, Millie and me went to public school together in Brooklyn.
Oh.
Of course, I only went as far as the fourth grade, but she stayed till the fifth to complete her education, you know. Gee, I wonder what she wants.
Well, she said she just got a job.
Oh, she dropped in to gloat, huh?
No, it's out of town someplace. She leaves tomorrow. Said she just dropped over to say hello and goodbye.
Well, that's a relief. I was afraid maybe she'd try to mooch into my date tonight with Eddie.
You mean she invites herself where she's not wanted?
Yeah. Back at school, she was known as Tagalong Cassidy. Well, here goes. Darling, it's wonderful to see you again. Too bad you can't stay.
Oh, but I can, Maisie. My train don't leave till tomorrow. Oh, and I have so much to tell you. What are you doing tonight?
Well, Mildred, if it were some other night, but tonight...
She's got plans.
Oh. It couldn't be anything real important, I'm sure. And, well, tonight I'm not going to have anything on.
Well, then why don't you take a bath?
She's a sweet old thing, isn't she?
Millie, I'd really like to spend your last night in town with you, but tonight I was sort of planning on going to a nightclub.
Well, Maisie, honey, don't change your plans on account of me.
Oh, then you don't really mind?
Of course not, silly. I just love nightclubs.
Gee, that's a load off my mind, I'll say.
Look, Mildred, it's none of my business.
You're so right. Maisie, that gown you have on, I mean almost have on, you don't have to wear it tonight just for me.
But she ain't wearing it for you. She's wearing it for Eddie.
A fella? Maisie Revere, don't tell me you got a fella.
Well, why not? What am I, a hunk of chopped liver?
Oh, and his name is Eddie, huh?
Yeah.
Gee, I don't suppose I'll ever get to meet him.
No, I don't suppose. You see, Maisie and him are engaged since a year ago.
Yeah, and tonight we're celebrating. He's taken me to the Ritz Gardens.
The Ritz Gardens. Oh, gee, Maisie, I've always dreamed about going to the Ritz Gardens.
Well, the next time you dream, have a good time. Now, Maisie, honey, you've got to finish dressing.
Yeah, well, goodbye, Mildred. I'm awfully sorry about tonight.
Oh, that's all right, Maisie. Don't worry about me. I'll just go home and stare at the wallpaper. Maybe I'll try on my new evening gown that I never got to wear. And don't you even give a second thought that the only friend I wanted to visit with on my last night in town was you. Just go and have a marvelous time.
Well, look, Mildred, I'd really love to have you join Eddie and me.
You would? Swell, I'll meet you there. So long.
But, Mildred, I didn't mean... Oh, gosh, it's too late. She's gone.
Oh, now poor Eddie has an extra face to feed. Maisie, when he finds out you've invited that schlump along, Eddie is going to hit the ceiling.
Yeah, and 2-1, he's going to hit it with me.
The Adventures of Maisie, starring Ann Southern, will continue in just a moment.
I don't even have to say it now. He said it for me.
Right?
Yeah, that's high
ever
back there.
A few last words that we have to hear from you.
So I don't have to say it. But yes, we will have more Maisie in a little bit here on the WGN Radio Theater. Hope you're enjoying good comedy, you know, based on the movie series. You know, if something was successful, like Boston Blackie, okay, Boston Blackie had a movie serial, you know, movie series with Chester Morris. It was so popular, they were like, hey, let's do this on radio. Same thing with a lot of these shows. This is another Dr. Kildare. Dr. Kildare was in the movies, and what did they do? They put it on radio, Maisie on radio. So that's why not, right? It was working in the movies. It'll work on radio, which means it'll probably work in television as well, right,
Lisa? Most of the time.
All right.
There's a few.
So do we have a break? Do we take a break here? All right. So Elif said to take a break, so I am taking a break here on the WGN Radio Theater. We'll be right back. Lisa and I and the whole gang were here every Saturday and Sunday night from 11 p.m. until 2 in the morning, unless Lisa's in New York on vacation. You know,
or in Florida.
Right, right.
Yeah, I think it's about time. It's been a week, and it's time for me to find another spot.
Spot to go. Exactly. Mike was talking about going to Cancun.
In August.
Cozumel, actually.
You know, Cozumel, right? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay, Cozumel. Wow.
I will have been out of the country twice this year, actually, which is kind of odd.
And I go...
We obviously pay you too much.
I go... No.
I go nowhere.
Not when I leave the state one time every 6 years.
Just giving you a hard time.
But I do have my baseball tournament in October that I always go to in Arizona.
In Arizona, right.
Yeah, I mean, but... And that is over a weekend, so something's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. I think you and Mike are going to have to do the show. Yeah. Maybe we'll ask Dave Plyer to come in here.
I might pull in a substitute for you so I can have a little fun.
I think Dave Plyer would be great because he knows all these classic radio shows.
And we've talked about
or
that
Or Roger
before.
Badish. Roger knows all the shows, right?
Well,
Roger
sure.
could do it.
I could do it.
Roger, so Roger and I would be great together.
How about that? When I go on vacation in October to Arizona to play baseball, I can leave it in your capable hands with the two.
If they would let me, I would love to.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
That sounds cool.
That would be great.
Roger, it's a date.
Yeah. All right. So that sounds great.
You guys are all going all these places. You got Florida and New York. You got Cozumel. You got Arizona.
Honeymoons and anniversaries.
Yeah. I'm just going crazy.
That's right. We're all going somewhere, right, Roger?
Yeah. All right. So I feel like, hey, you know, I can maybe go to Arizona and not have to worry.
If they would let me touch buttons and stuff, I'd be okay.
You can touch.
I hope you'd have your job when you came back, Carl.
Oh, he'd have it. Please. In fact, we're going to take his chair, move it to the corner, so I don't, ruin it.
You don't want to touch it.
No, I don't want to ruin it for him.
Here's what I would like to do when I come back. I'd like people to say, Roger did an okay job.
Yeah,
he did an okay job.
Know. But he's not Carl.
He got the shows on the air and he talked a little bit about them and it was okay.
Yeah.
But now,
Carl, you are one of a kind.
Yeah.
Okay, no, seriously, that would be fun, Roger. I really appreciate that. All right.
Yeah,
so,
I would love to, sure.
Okay, great. Okay. All right, so I've got October figured out. I can go to Arizona and play some baseball.
Maybe.
Sounds good. All right, so how about getting back to the adventures of Maisie? Sound good?
Great.
Let's go back to September 28th, 1950 for the conclusion to Tagalog Cassidy, starring Ann Southern on the adventures of Maisie.
Back to Maisie.
Gee gosh, Eddie. This here Ritz Garden sure is a swanky club, ain't it?
Sure. But what are we sitting here just outside the... Why are we sitting here? Let's go in and find our table.
Well, Eddie, this is our table.
After all, it's costing plenty to come... This is our table?
Yeah. Out of this world, ain't it?
A little too far out. Maisie, maybe we ought to just go to a movie.
Oh, Eddie, you're disappointed in the location of our table.
Not at all, dear. After all, it's only costing me $20 a head. And for that kind of money, I can't expect to be right in the club. Anyway, Maisie, honey, at least we'll be alone. Just the two of us.
Eddie...
Wait a minute, Maisie. This must be the wrong table after all. There are three settings here.
Three?
Yeah, one, two, three.
Honey, let's dance.
The band is not playing.
Well, how do you know? Maybe they are. Let's dance.
Maisie Revere, what's that third setting for?
Oh, gosh, I'm starved, honey. Waiter! Oh, waiter!
Miss, I am not a waiter. Maitre D', remember?
Oh, yeah. The sensitive one. Oh, this is Eddie. Eddie, meet Maitre...
Howdy, mate, old boy. I want to thank you for giving us this table. You must accept this to show my appreciation.
Goody, goody, a whole dime. Now I can retire and travel like I always wanted to.
Yeah, you can see all faraway places, some even farther away than this table.
Yeah, and while we're on the subject, chum, I think you've made a small mistake here. There are three settings.
But I received a call from this lady
to bring over a menu. I'm starved.
Oh, then you'd like to see a waiter.
For $20 a head, we'd like to see something.
Very well. I shall take your order. I don't think I can get a waiter to come all the way out here.
Yeah, he might not be able to find his way back to the club. Gosh, I'm starved. Signor, how much are your steaks?
$7.50.
I'll have a cup of coffee.
And you, Maharaja?
Well, I'm not hungry. I just ate yesterday. I'll have coffee, too.
Very well. Now, will that be two coffees or just one for the two of you? They're quite large cups, you know.
We'll each have a cup.
Oh, yes, sir. Tonight we live, don't we? And, oh, yes, shall I bring a cup for the other lady you're expecting?
Other lady? Maisie.
Yeah, maestro. So long now. And if you see anything on the tablecloth when you come back that looks like ketchup, it ain't.
I look forward to it.
Okay, Maisie. Who's the other lady?
Well, Mildred Cassidy, Eddie. She insisted on joining us. When Mildred arrives, we'll just talk, the two of us, and pretend that she isn't even here.
Oh, you mean freeze her out of the conversation?
Yeah, that's it. Ignore her out of here.
Well, I'm here at last, Maisie, honey. Gee, I'll bet you thought I wasn't coming.
Oh, we knew you'd come. I broke a mirror this morning. This is Eddie. Eddie, this is Mildred.
Oh, well, pleased to make your acquaintance, I'm sure. Gee, I'll bet you were surprised to find out I was joining you.
Surprised is hardly the word.
Well, I am a little late, but you know what Confucius says? It's better late than never.
Confucius should worry how he spends my money.
Oh, he's real cute, Maisie. Such a keen sense of humor.
You should catch him at parties when he puffs a pillow under his coat and makes himself for a fat man.
Oh. Well, here we are together. Just the three of us.
Yeah.
You know, while getting dressed tonight, I slipped in the shower and almost broke my neck.
That's nice.
My, sure are a bunch of yadda-to-yadda-tas, aren't we?
Yeah.
Eddie, I hear you tell just perfectly hilarious stories.
Yeah. You did, Mildred?
Uh-huh.
Well, the fellows down at the office think I'm a regular card. Funny thing, I just happened to think about a riddle. Stop me if you've heard this one
Eddie,
before.
Remember what we said.
But Maisie,
you know, Maisie, Eddie reminds me a little of that fellow that used to be so nuts about you, thought you were real pretty. You know, that nearsighted fellow, Willie Burns.
This riddle really kills me.
Now,
oh, tell me what
gosh, Willie Burns, I do remember him. He was the rich kid on the block, owned his own skate key and everything.
This is really a wow of a riddle.
Billy didn't marry that there girl he was so stuck on, did he, Mildred? Oh, what was her name again?
Oh, nuts.
No, but you were close, Eddie. It was O'Reilly. Rudolph O'Reilly. Her mother had a crush on Valentino.
Why don't you tell this riddle, Eddie?
Well, Rudy married somebody else, some professional man. A barber, I think.
Okay, if you insist, I'll tell it. What does an elephant have that no other animal can have?
Oh, say, Maisie, guess who just got divorced.
I give up.
You do? Well, the answer is...
Who got divorced, Mildred?
I thought you were addressing me for a change. Herman and Arlene Rosenberg. He took the kids and gave her the apartment.
Lucky girl.
I don't know. What does an elephant have that no other animal can have?
Herman's brother, George.
No, no, you're not even warm.
Well, what about George, Mildred? I had a crush on him once. You remember?
Yeah. Oh, poor George. He worked in a delicatessen store and lost part of his thumb. Cutting salami too thin.
Oh, the poor fellow.
The answer is little elephants. Little elephants.
Well, I don't see anything to laugh at, Eddie. Losing a part of your thumb can be very painful.
Other things can be very painful, too, Maisie. After all, I'm sitting at this table, too, you know.
Well, you'd never know it. Why, you haven't even opened your mouth since Mildred got here.
Oh, I'm just a big killjoy, ain't I? Well... So long now, I think I found myself a dancing party.
Say, Maisie, you'll never guess who I ran into the other day. Alice Ferguson.
No, is she going steady with the fella yet, Mildred?
Well, she didn't volunteer to tell me, so naturally I didn't volunteer to ask.
What an admirable attitude, Mildred. If a girl her age wants to keep sacred things like that to herself, so let her, I always say. Don't you think I'm right, Eddie? Eddie? Where is he?
Oh, over on the dance floor, Maisie. And, well, he's dancing with the hat check girl.
Well, that's what I call nerve. Inviting a girl out to a club and then not paying any attention to her at all. Well, Duke can play at that game.
What are you going to do, Maisie?
I'm going to pick up the handsomest man in this club and make Eddie jealous.
Yeah, it'd serve him right. Oh, say, Maisie, there's a nice-looking fella sitting alone at that table.
Well, he ain't gonna be alone long.
Oh. I beg your pardon, miss, but have we met someplace before?
How dare you talk to me, sir, a total stranger. Go away at once, or I shall call the manager. Go away at once, do you hear?
Well, if you insist, but first, would you mind getting up off my lap?
Oh, is this your lap I'm sitting on? I thought it was mine.
You can sit on your own lap? This I'd like to see.
Oh, no, I mean, I thought it was my table. It's so dark in here that anyone can make a mistake.
Well, I'm glad that you did, baby. How about a little champagne?
Oh, I'm sorry. I do not indulge in liquid beverages.
Oh, please. A little drinky will help break the ice.
What do I want with some broken ice?
Maisie! Oh, Maisie!
Oh, quick, mister. This is your chance to kiss me.
Kiss you? Well, I never had
I never either, with a stranger, I mean. Come on, kiss me, please.
Okay, baby. Here goes.
Maisie, you weren't back at the table, so I... Maisie!
Excuse me. Sit down, Eddie. We'll be through in a couple of minutes.
Now, look here, feller. I don't know whether you're drunk or not, or whether Maisie got hit in the head with a passing tray, but that's Maisie you're kissing.
Oh, how do you do, Maisie? I'm Steve Clark.
How do you do? This here's Eddie Jordan.
How do you do, Eddie?
Hi, Steve. Steve Clark.
Eddie Jordan, well, of all people, here, sit down.
you two know each other?
Sure, from the Army. We were in Guadalcanal together.
Yeah, we were buddies.
Yeah.
Well, you can stop being buddies right now. Eddie, I've got to get something off my mind.
First, get it off Steve's lap. You're wrinkling his pants.
Yeah.
You don't care that he's madly in love with me and that he asked me to dance, not like a certain other fellow who brung me here.
Eddie, this'll kill you. Guess who I ran into last week? Our old CO, Colonel Henderson.
Not old Colonel Henderson.
Yeah.
He asked me to have a drink with him.
Well, that's impossible. Colonel Henderson doesn't drink.
Oh, the Colonel sure had a sense of humor, didn't he, Eddie?
Yeah, a million laughs the old guy was.
I know a riddle about an elephant.
Say, Steve, whatever happened to that girl you were running around with in Australia?
You mean Sally?
No, the single one.
The orchestra is playing again, Eddie. It's a rumba. You sure dance your waltz good to a rumba.
Oh, you mean Charlotte.
Yeah. Ever see her anymore?
Oh, gee. This music sure sets your feet popping.
Nope, I don't get to see Charlotte much now, Eddie. She's married.
Oh, yeah? To who?
To whom?
To whom?
Me.
Oh, you man. All you do is gab, gab, gab about people I don't even know. If you don't stop, Eddie Jordan, I'm going right back to our table.
Say, whatever happened to George Green?
I said I'm going back to my table.
Did George re-enlist like he said he would?
Nope. He got married.
No coward, that boy.
I said I'm going back to my table.
So long.
So long.
Steve, have you ever run across Corporal Johnny Morgan? Remember, if it weren't for him, we'd both be dead now.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, you both are. So long, kids. Happy yachta, yachta, yachta. Gee, isn't this music just heavenly? You know, I could go on dancing all night with you like this.
So could I, Maisie. But next dance, let me lead.
Once again, here's Maisie.
Well, I guess maybe I should have paid more attention to Eddie instead of being carried away by all that gossip talk with Mildred. But, well, I'm a woman, and that's my only excuse. Frankly, Eddie was perfectly right in leaving the table and dancing with that hat check girl. So later on, I had a long talk with him, and he finally apologized, so I forgave him. It turned out fine. Mildred had to leave early because a waiter dropped a tray of food all over her dress. Cost poor Eddie $10 for that. $5 to Mildred to have the dress cleaned and the other $5 to the waiter for making it look like an accident. Gosh, it's been a wonderful night. But I wish Eddie would realize there's something more to dancing than just walking around and wiping your feet on the floor.
You have just heard The Adventures of Maisie, starring Ann Southern. Maisie. Maisie was written by Arthur Phillips. Original music was composed and conducted by Harry Zimmerman. Supporting cast included Pat McGeehan, Elvia Allman, Peter Leeds, Joan Banks, and Hans Conried. Jack McCoy speaking.
That is The Adventures of Maisie, starring Ann Southern as Maisie Revere, from September 28th, 1950. That was an MGM radio syndicated production, because the movies in the theaters were produced by MGM, and they released them. And so when it came time to do a radio version, MGM syndication did that. They sort of had a kind of a monopoly on Maisie. Ann Southern was terrific as Maisie, and she did a lot of dramatic radio and TV and movies as well. And you're going to hear her on a very dramatic performance of Suspense in our next hour, and then as a guest star on the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis Show. So much more Ann Southern coming your way here on the WGN Radio Theater. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll be right back. All right, we're back. It is 12:07. Thank you, Roger Badish. We appreciate you, my friend, very much. And Roger's a Mies Meals fan. He likes Mies Meals. He's been ordering and ordering. And Mies Meals is one of our sponsors. They do a terrific job. They have some of the best meals. I mean, if you order out, right, if you're someone who orders a pizza or something like that, I mean, you really should know about Mies Meals. I love it. I have two meals a week brought in. Lisa, how many meals do you have brought
two
in?
As two as well.
Mike?
Two.
Okay. So here's the deal. Mies Meals, which is MEEZmeals.com, MiesMeals.com, is a terrific website, terrific company. You can order food. It's not a subscription. You don't have to do it every week. You just do it whenever you want to do it. And you can get this amazing food delivered right to your home at unbelievably great prices. It's super healthy. It's all chopped. It's all prepared. But here's the best part. They want you to try it absolutely free. You can get a dinner for two delivered to your home for zilch, zero, no money. It's just it's a promotion for this show. And all you have to do is put in the radio, in the code radio at checkout. Right?
I just wanted to clarify, when it comes to your door in the cooler, it's not already cooked.
No.
So the ingredients come chopped and prepped with a recipe card ready to be made in your oven, on your stove. And so everything is ready to be prepared. So it's a short preparation time as everything is ready to
right.
go.
And they give you cue cards.
Cue cards.
Yeah.
Sure. So we take all the ingredients, we put them together, and I make them in my house.
Yeah. Very cool. Can we make? Can everybody make them in your house?
Absolutely.
We can all go to Lisa's house.
Come on over.
All right.
Sounds love that.
Good. All right. So you should try it, folks. Just go to MiesMeals.com. That's MEEZmeals.com. And try dinner for two absolutely free delivered to your home. Just pick out something. You'll find something on the menu because there's always 10 or 12 items.
Right.
You'll find something you like. Believe me. I had a balsamic glazed chicken last week. It was incredible, just absolutely incredible. And
I've just looked at the menu today for next week. There's a steak quinoa bowl. There's a red beans with tofu.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, it's a red rice, a Himalayan red rice with tofu. There's a balsamic glaze. There's a Tahitian pineapple chicken, I think,
mm-hmm.
next week.
I've had that before. That was really good.
There's a lot of great stuff. So, yeah, check it out. See what you like.
All right. So go to Mies, MEEZmeals.com. Order dinner for two. Delivered to your home absolutely free. Just put radio as your promo code at checkout, and it'll be zilch.
You like
nothing. You like zero, right?
Zero cost
is nice.
Zero cost for good food is great.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so in this hour, we're going to tune in to an episode of Suspense called Beware the Quiet Man, starring Ann Southern from 1948. And then in our next hour, we'll hear the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis Show with guest Ann Southern. All of this is brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress will star in the comedy Table 19 about wedding guests who are quarantined to the dreaded singles table.
All right. The number to call, 312-981-7200. You'll win.
You'll win two tickets to see My Son the Waiter, a Jewish tragedy, playing at the North Shore Center for Performing Arts.
All right. If you want to win two tickets, give us a call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actress played Phoebe on Friends.
The only happiness I get is from a cup of coffee, which of course is decaf because, oh, I'm pregnant.
All right, call us if you know who that is, 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break. Let's play the clip again.
The only happiness I get is from a cup of coffee, which of course is decaf because, oh, I'm pregnant.
And who do we have on the line, Elif?
It's Ray from Orland Park.
Ray, how are you?
Oh, wonderful. Enjoying your show very much while I do some, actually put in a new deadbolt in my door, and I was listening to your show.
There you go. It'll keep you busy. Yeah. Well, who is that? Do you know?
That is the wonderfully talented Lisa Kudrow.
You are right. Isn't she great?
Yeah, she is great.
She's really funny. Well, you are a winner. Instead of, working around the house, you can go see a show. My Son the Waiter, a Jewish tragedy. It's playing right now at the North Shore Center for Performing Arts. That's in Skokie. It's running through August 7th. And it's a comedy about a man's struggle to make it as an actor in New York. We can all wonder about that. And you can get tickets at northshorecenter.org. Thank you so much for calling in, and we appreciate your listening while you're working.
Keep up the great work. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ray.
Thanks, Ray. All right, this is the WGN Radio Theater. We play your favorite classic radio shows every Saturday and Sunday night from 11 p.m. until 2 o'clock in the morning. Lisa Wolf, my co-host, is here. Mike Estella, executive producer here. And Elif Garris is in the booth. She's hitting all the right buttons and all the radio shows on time and all that good stuff. We appreciate Elif. She does a lot more than that. She answers the phone. She cracks the whip with us a little bit if we get out of line.
And every now and then she shares her Hershey chocolates.
Yeah, and every once in a while you gotta crack the whip.
Right.
Right?
Are you talking about you
no.
or Elif?
Yeah, I need the whip cracked on me. What did I say, crack?
You're a whip cracker.
Cracked? Crap. I think I said crap.
I wouldn't say
Well, you know what I mean. Cracked. I don't have that sound effect here. Yeah. Here's the only
a good job.
Here's the only sound effect I have. That's the only one they give me.
All right, that's a good one.
They figure I can't get in too much trouble
and
with that one.
And who's they now?
The powers that be.
Right, exactly.
There's these very, very important people, powers that be. All right, so it's time for suspense, Lisa Wolf. We have a suspense episode starring Ann Southern. You know, we hear Ann Southern as sort of a comedian, like a Lucille Ball character.
Right.
But a lot of times on Suspense, they used to cast people off type. Like they would have Lucille Ball on in a very dramatic role. They would have Milton Berle. They would have, Jack Benny, Dennis Day. They had Phil Harris. They had Red Skelton. You know, they liked to do that. They would take comedians and put them on Suspense and give them dramatic roles. And they did that here with Ann Southern. Now, Ann Southern did dramatic things also, but she was best known for playing a comedic character in with Maisie Revere. So I think you'll like this. It's called Beware the Quiet Man. It's from August 12th, 1948. Here's Ann Southern in part one of Suspense.
Suspense. Autolite and its 60,000 dealers and service stations bring you radio's outstanding theater of thrills. Starring tonight, Miss Ann Southern in Anton Leder's production of Beware the Quiet Man, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
And soda with a twist of lemon.
Okay, coming right up. Say, your name, Margie?
Yeah. How'd you know?
You generally come in here with a heavy-set guy, black wavy hair, wears a dye big diamond?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in a while ago. Said to tell you he'd be late, but for you to be sure and wait for him.
But I can't wait. I gotta get home. How late do you say he'd be?
Oh, about an hour.
Oh, for crying out loud. Okay, give me some nickels.
Yeah. Here you are.
Thanks. Hello? Mr. Banning, please. Yeah, Mr. Arthur Banning. Arthur? Margie. I'm going to be late for supper. Yeah, I ran into a girl I used to know at Lincoln High. She wants me to have a drink with her. Yeah. And say, will you pick up some hamburger on the way home and start the potatoes? I'll be there as quick as I can. Bye.
Here's your drink.
Well, here's mud in your eye.
There's a young fella down the end of the bar wants to buy you one.
No, thanks.
Well, it looks like a nice guy.
That tall, blonde fellow over by the mirror?
None other. And you got a whole hour to kill.
Is he... He isn't drunk, is he?
Nah, he's had a few, but he always carries it good. It might help pass the time.
Say, what's it to you anyway?
$5. I said, I'd sure appreciate it.
He offered you $5 to get me to have a drink with him?
Yeah.
He is kind of good looking. Well, okay. Sure, what the heck, I'll have a drink with him.
Okay, so you're married. Nothing wrong with having a drink together, so what? I figure what your old man don't know won't hurt him.
I said I'd have a drink with you. If you've got any other ideas, I'll buy my own.
Oh, now, don't get me wrong, honey. I spotted you as a good kid the minute you ankled in here. You just like excitement, that's all. And I'm the guy that can dish it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a private eye. Yeah, no kidding, like you hear about on the radio.
Gee, what a break for me.
You just stick around me, honey, and you'll get plenty of excitement.
Yeah, I'll bet.
You know, you take this new client of mine now. Bet you anything he makes the headlines tomorrow. 10-1, he'll murder his wife.
Oh, yeah, sure.
He hired me to find out if his wife's been stepping out. I felt kind of sorry for the guy. Probably doesn't have the money to take her out himself. He's a bank teller over at Second National.
Bank teller? What's his name?
Honey, no, that stuff's confidential. Matter of fact, I'm not supposed to talk about cases at all.
Oh, go on. I won't tell anybody.
Well, no, you don't look like the kind of babe that blabs everything she knows. How about that drink, huh?
Sure.
Hey, Charlie, two over here, huh?
In the works.
You know, he sort of gave me the creeps, this guy. He sat there eating his lunch, calm as you please, and all the time figuring how to kill his wife.
How'd you know what he was figuring?
Well, for one thing, he didn't want evidence for a divorce. He sort of looked at me funny and said, I just want to know, that's all. If Margie is stepping out, I'll take care of it my own way.
Margie?
Yeah, that's his wife's name, Margie. Hey, what's the matter?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Hey, you don't look so good. Maybe you drank the last one too fast.
No, I'm fine. I'm just naturally pale, that's all. You were saying about this client? You figure he's going to murder his wife?
Oh, sure. It's in the back. Either that or suicide.
Suicide?
But he's more the type for murder.
Oh, one of those big, brutal guys. Sort of mean-looking, huh?
Oh, quiet, mousy. Kind doesn't have much to say. Those are the guys you got to watch.
But why?
Because they never let you know what they're really thinking. Not until it's too late.
They don't?
You know, most guys, when they find their wife stepping, will raise Cain. Maybe they'll even get a divorce, but they don't get sore enough to murder.
Yeah.
But these quiet fellas, you know, they put the little woman on a pedestal. You wouldn't catch them out with other women, not in a million years. And when they discover their one and only's been kicking up her heels, oh, brother, watch out.
Golly.
And the worst of it is they go on acting like nothing's wrong, you see? And then all of a sudden, whango, they explode.
They explode?
Yeah. You know, like I always say, beware the quiet man. Like this new client of mine, for example, calm. You never met anybody calmer, but I'll
What does
bet...
he look like?
Oh, he's just about average, I guess. Brown hair, getting sort of thin on the top. A little bit stoop-shouldered.
Medium height? Wear glasses?
Yeah, yeah, you know him?
No, I don't know any of the boys. Excuse me.
Hey, where you going?
I gotta make a phone call, just remembered something. Don't go away, I'll be right back. Oh. Ralph? Margie, I can't see you this afternoon. No, I'm not sorry about you being late. But whatever you do, don't come into Charlie's place. Yeah, that's where I am now. You bet there's something wrong. There's plenty wrong. Either this guy I'm talking to is crazy, or else Arthur's planning to murder me.
For Suspense, Autolite is bringing you Miss Anne Southern in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
I stood there in the phone booth a minute after I hung up. I wasn't scared exactly, but I had to let those words sink in. Either this guy I'm talking to is crazy, or else Arthur's planning to murder me. I went back to the bar. I had to find out.
Oh, beautiful. I thought you got lost. Sit down.
Thanks. Now, about this fella, the one who's going to murder his wife.
Oh, let's can the shop talk. I want to hear about you. I don't even know your name.
Did he say what made him think she was stepping out?
Ah, she's supposed to belong to some bridge club. The bank teller's wife's got up. But friends of his saw her downtown a couple of times on her bridge days.
Is that all?
You know, honey, you're pretty smart. You make like you're really interested in a guy's work.
Oh, but I am.
You know, I had a little doll once I thought plenty of. Would have married her, maybe, but only every time I started talking about a case, she shut me up.
Never mind about your little dolls. What about this guy?
Hey, you're jealous. Well, what do you know?
I'm not jealous. I only want to know.
It's okay, honey. It's okay. Sure, a cute little doll like you doesn't want to hear a guy spouting off about another dame. Yeah, maybe I had a few too many.
I just want to hear about this bank teller. Have you met his wife, maybe?
No, but he showed me a picture of her.
Oh, then you know what she looks like. Oh.
Hey, what's so funny?
Never mind. The joke's on me.
Maybe you better not have him any more to drink. You're acting kind of screwy.
Oh, I feel wonderful. Well, here's to you. A long life.
Yeah.
A long, long life.
Yeah. Down the hatch. Yeah. Poor little Margie. You know, he showed me a snapshot of her in her bathing suit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy, was she stacked. As a matter of fact, about your height and build... Yeah, blonde like you, too.
Was she as pretty as I am?
No, I couldn't see her face. It's kind of blurred. He's bringing me a better picture of her tomorrow.
Oh, I think I'd like another drink.
You know, honey, you better start taking vitamins or something. You're pale as a sheet.
I said I wanted another drink.
Oh, yeah, sure. Hey, Charlie, two more of the same, huh?
Okay.
Yeah, poor little Margie. You know, that's one thing I could never figure out. The cute little dolls with flirtatious eyes always pick some homely, quiet gink when it comes to settling down. And the handsome he-man who has to beat off the dames with a club, what does he do? He marries a drab little pigeon. Yeah, that's why we get so many axe murders, I guess.
Axe murders?
Only in this case, he'll use a gun.
But he doesn't have a... I mean, most bank clerks don't own guns.
Oh, well, this one does. Now.
Give me a light, will you?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Hey, maybe if you lay off a booze, honey, and take a tonic or something, you'll feel better. Look at your hands. They're trembling.
How do you know he has a gun?
Oh, I get it. Why'd you tell me?
Tell you what?
You got a squeamish stomach. All this talk about guns and shooting. No, honey, I'm sorry. I won't say one more word about it, I promise.
I'm not squeamish, and I don't need vitamins. I want to know how you know this bank teller guy has a gun.
I saw him going to a pawn shop and buy one. You know, honey, I could really go for you. It's a funny thing. We never even introduced ourselves. That's something we got to do. My name's Clouson. Lem Clouson. What's yours?
You mean that man bought a gun and now he's home waiting to murder his wife in cold blood?
Oh, no. He won't do anything until he gets my report. Oh. You see, tomorrow I check with her friends to see if she's been going to Bridge Club like she's supposed to.
Yeah.
And I meet my client for lunch and get a picture of Margie. Mm. And I take it around to the downtown bars to find out if she's been seen with anybody. And then I give my client the report when he gets off work.
Yeah. And then?
And if his suspicions are right, and they usually are, it's all over but the shooting.
The shooting?
Yeah. Bang, bang, honey. That's all. Bang, bang. Say, what'd you say your name was?
I've got to get home.
All right, that's the first portion of Suspense with Beware the Quiet Man from August 12th, 1948, starring Ann Southern. Yes, Suspense was such a great series, Lisa. All of your top movie stars appeared on Suspense. They all wanted to be on Suspense because it was the top show on radio. You know, I mean, Humphrey Bogart did it. You know, James Stewart many, many times, Cary Grant, all these big movie stars just wanted to appear before the Suspense microphones. And you can tell why, because they had the best writers, the best supporting cast, the best directors and producers. It was a top-flight show, and everyone wanted to hear Suspense. Big, big listening audience. All right, let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater.
It's a Midsummer Night's Dream. If Shakespeare wore pads and didn't have any teeth. It's the Blackhawks Convention, and I have your convention passes at 7:20.
The sold-out Midsummer Hockey Party is next weekend, but Steve Cochran's got your passes. Later this morning on 7:20 WGN.
Visit Majestic Star Casino every Saturday for $113,000 Jeep Wrangler drawings. You could win up to $10,000 each week. And the grand prize, a brand new 2016 Jeep Wrangler. Plus, Fridays, 75 players will win an Igloo cooler filled with up to $5,000. And stay tuned to our Facebook page for updates on a new steakhouse coming soon. Only at Majestic Star Casino. Prize amounts are promo cash. Visit MajesticStarCasino.com for details. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Allison is perfect. I mean, she'd never tell you that. She's humble and perfect. She likes everyone. She even likes her untidy roommate's weird guinea pig. Allison, wait, are you texting and driving? Allison, no. That's the exact opposite of what I was just saying about you. Why, Allison? Why? Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTechStopWrecks.org, brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Tune in to the Markets Radio program with me, Orion Samuelson, sponsored by the CME Group, a weekly look at agricultural and business news with guests and more. Listen now at WGNRadio.com.
All right, when we come back from the news, we're going to tune into the conclusion to Suspense. Then in our third hour, it'll take us up to 2 o'clock in the morning. We're going to listen to the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis Show. Yes, they had a radio show for a while before their television show. They were doing vaudeville and doing all kinds of movies, and then radio back end, of course, and they had a big radio show, and then TV. And then they broke up for, like, I don't know, forever, right? Gosh, I hope that never happens to us, Lisa.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Gosh, because you're like Jerry Lewis and I'm like Dean Martin, right?
Yeah, except, you know, I know you and...
Hey, Ding! Right?
I know you.
Hey, Ding.
You know,
I hope that never happens to us.
No, I know.
I hope we're doing this show.
You're the kind of person you don't want to cross.
What?
I'm trying to figure out how to say it.
That's not nice.
No.
No,
I mean, you're very loyal to the people that you are good and kind.
Yes.
But once somebody crosses you,
well, you know, I think that's how you should be in life. You don't let people walk all over you.
No, it wasn't
right?
A criticism. Yeah. Honestly, that's a real trait.
And I think the two of them, Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis, I don't think they broke up because anything that either one of them was mistreating the other. I think it just was pressure. You know, they just had tons of pressure being the top headliners in radio and TV. I mean, it was just tons and tons of pressure. And if you read some of the books about them, you know, Jerry Lewis did, you know, he was like the force behind the two of these guys.
Yeah.
You know, he was, I mean, look at what all the movies he's made and all this kind of stuff. I think it was just too much pressure. And these guys broke up and then went on their separate ways. Well, we'll hear an episode of them together on radio when they were together as a team. And Ann Southern was a guest on a 1952 broadcast. This is very snappy. I like this. Snappy, Lisa.
We're snappy, Carl.
We're snappy-dappy. You're very snappy.
Thanks, Carl.
Thanks, Carl. I called her snappy. She's like, thanks, Carl.
Snappy dresser, snappy girl.
I think being snappy is certainly a compliment.
I took it that way.
Yeah. You know, people don't call each other snappy anymore, right?
Right, and they're not named Harlow. Same thing.
And next time I have a son, I'm not naming him Harlow.
No.
No.
Next time
I'm having babies. I did that a whole life ago.
Right,
you know?
So it's time to do it again.
Yeah, you know, listen, my friend Malcolm McDowell, who was the host of the Fangoria Dread Time Stories. I don't know if people know about this show, but we may be going back into production on those. I did 17 of them, and these are, I don't know, Roger, if you have ever heard these shows. Roger's in the studio here. Fangoria's Dread Time Stories is like Lights Out, but it's done today, and it has stars and things. And Malcolm McDowell is the host, and it's called Fangoria's Dread Time Stories. And I did 17 hours. Lisa was in some of them.
I was,
yeah.
Yes.
And so we...
He kills me off pretty fast.
Yeah,
though.
there's a company called Podcast One, that we may, starting in October, on Halloween, we're going to launch on Podcast One this series, and then we're going to do one a month, but then we're going to go through the 17 that we did at two a month, and then we may go back into the studio, Lisa, and create some more, which
I'm
excited about.
We'll see how they work.
But the reason why I mention that is because Malcolm McDowell, who is a little older than I am, he's got little babies. Yeah. I mean, so it's possible, you know?
Yeah, you up for it, Carl?
You never know. It's still possible. Am I up for it? Not really. I don't know if I'm, you know, they're tough. Kids are a lot of work,
man. Is that right?
I have three.
I didn't know
how
that works.
You have four. What the heck?
What the heck is right?
Four. Gosh, you need a hobby.
Yeah, right.
So,
no, I just need some sleep.
Yeah. all right, so Ann Southern, who is doing a terrific job in this episode of Suspense. William Conrad is sort of the detective in this that she's talking to, and kind of he accidentally told her, hey, your husband, he might be trying to kill you on this episode. Great cast. Paul Frees, what a voice that guy had. Paul Frees is the announcer on this. Let's get back to this August 12th, 1948 episode of Beware the Quiet Man, starring Ann Southern on Suspense.
Hello, dear.
Hello, Arthur.
Oh, I was beginning to worry about you.
Well, I really couldn't help being late for dinner. I wanted to leave, but Maybelle, that's her name, you know, the girl I used to go to school with, she kept talking yatta-to-yatta, and I just couldn't walk out on her in the middle of a sentence.
That's all right. I didn't mind. Say, the potatoes are all ready, like you told me. Shall I,
No, I'll hurry dinner. You just sit down and read the paper.
Huh? Well, why, thank you, dear. You all right? You look a little flushed.
Oh, well, I'm fine. I was just rushing, that's all. It'll be ready in a minute. Did you have a hard day, darling?
Oh, usual. People are taking out more money these days than they're putting in.
Yeah, prices are awful, aren't they?
Hmm.
Nothing unusual? I mean, nothing happened today?
Oh, a funny thing. Man came rushing in this morning, first thing the doors were opened. Wanted to withdraw all the money from their joint account before his wife beat him to it. Seems she was leaving him for another man.
Oh, how awful.
Oh, yeah. While he was there, she appeared. You should have heard her carry on. Huh. She was a real shrew.
Well, what happened?
Oh, nothing. He didn't say a word. He was a gentleman. But I'll bet if he'd had a gun, he'd have killed her. Oh, well. Seems things like that happen all the time. Newspaper's full of it.
Are you mad at me, Arthur?
Hmm?
Are you mad at me?
Am I mad at you? Why, no. Should I be?
Arthur, darling, I've got something to confess.
Well, fire away.
I didn't go to Bridge Club last week.
No? I thought you'd die before you gave up bridge.
Oh.
Really, honey, you look awfully seedy.
No, I'm fine. I feel fine. I had sort of a quarrel with Lorraine. I didn't want to tell you because you're always talking about how women can't get along with each other. Instead of going to Bridge Club, I went shopping. Instead.
Well, fine. Only I hope you didn't go over the budget.
Oh, no.
That's good. I always said bridge was a waste of time.
Then you're not angry about anything?
Why, no. Why should I be?
Oh, Arthur.
What's the matter now?
I don't deserve a swell husband like you.
Oh, I'm not so hot.
Oh, you always do the dinner dishes and bring me my breakfast in bed on Sunday mornings. The only morning you have to sleep. Arthur, I'd feel terrible if anything ever happened to us.
Well, what's going to happen?
Suppose someday you got real mad and exploded.
Exploded?
Yeah. What if you got a gun and shot me dead?
Oh, for heaven's sakes, Margie, where do you get those crazy ideas?
You mean, no matter how mad you got, no matter what I did to make you mad, you wouldn't shoot me dead?
Well, Margie, you know I'd rather die than hurt one hair on your head.
Oh, Arthur, not suicide.
Say, how many drinks did you and Maybelle have?
Arthur, I want you to know I'm going to change. I'm going to be a better wife from now on. I'll stay home all the time and darn your socks.
You? Darning socks.
You just wait and see. I'll get up every morning and make your breakfast.
Oh, Margie, you know you won't do any of those things.
I will, too.
Nonsense. Women like you never change.
I will, too. I'll change right away. Tomorrow.
Besides, I don't want you to. Oh, come here, baby. I want you to stay just exactly the way you are right now.
Just exactly, Arthur?
I love you very much. Just the way you are.
Oh, Arthur.
Hey, that reminds me, I made an appointment for you tomorrow at 10. You're having your picture taken.
My picture?
I showed a fellow that old snapshot of you today. The one we took at the beach? Oh. It was so dog-eared he couldn't see what you looked like, and I realized we didn't have a single decent picture of you at all, so
But why have it taken tomorrow?
Well, the studio next to the bank is having a special advertising the new 60-minute service.
60-minute service?
Yeah, that way I can pick up the finished picture before I go to lunch.
I don't want my picture taken.
Well, now you're being silly.
I won't do it.
Oh, honey, what's the matter?
Don't touch me. I won't have my picture taken. I won't. Good night.
Sort of gave me the creeps, this guy. Sat there eating his lunch calm as you please, and all the time figuring how to kill his wife. Quiet, mousy. That's the kind you gotta watch. Never let you know what they're really thinking. And all of a sudden, wango, they explode. Bang, bang, honey. That's all. Bang, bang.
Oh, no. There must be some mistake. Arthur wouldn't hurt me. He wouldn't. I won't think about it. I'll take a sleeping powder and go to bed. The gun. He did buy a gun. It's all true. Every word of it's true. Hello? Ralph. I told you never to call me here. No, it isn't all right. Arthur bought a gun home last night. Yes, a gun. Claimed he was keeping it for a friend. That's all he'd say. Yeah, I think so. Just a minute, I'll look. Ralph, the gun's gone. He must have taken it to work. Oh, but don't you see? As soon as he finds out for sure, he'll kill... No. I never want to hear from you again. I've got to think. Oh, not the doorbell. Oh, Lorraine.
Well, who'd you expect, darling? Frankenstein? Aren't you going to invite me in?
Well, I was just going out.
Don't be silly. You're not dressed.
I'm in a hurry, Lorraine.
Well, so am I. I'm late at the beauty shop now. But I was driving past anyway, so I thought I'd drop in and give you the latest on the girls at the bridge club.
Well, some other day. I've
honestly, Margie, this is choice. You know what I heard about Mrs. Dentler? You know, she's the wife of Ben Dentler, the new teller at the bank. The one from Chicago.
Lorraine, if you don't mind.
Oh, that's right. You haven't met her. Of course, you haven't been around lately. Well, she's kind of a pretty little thing in a plucked eyebrow sort of way.
But if...
You should hear what her husband told my husband.
Lorraine, I...
Of course, I promised Ed I wouldn't breathe a word.
But crying out loud, Lorraine.
Well, what brought that on?
I haven't time to stand and gossip.
What's wrong with you today, anyway? You're as nervous as a cat.
I'm all right, perfectly all right. But here it is, 10:30.
10:30? Good heavens, I'm a half hour late.
Well, goodbye.
I've got to run. Oh, darling. Be sure and read the Gazette tomorrow. They're running a story about our bridge benefit.
Okay, goodbye.
Pictures and everything. They didn't have time to take a new picture, but I gave them one we took at the Valentine party.
The one I was in? They're publishing it?
Why, sure.
I don't want my picture in the paper.
But yours was the only flattering one in the group. The reporter picked you out right away. He seemed quite smitten.
He?
Oh, yes, yes. He asked all about you. Of course, I told him that you didn't come to meetings very often.
The Gazette doesn't use men reporters for society.
Well, they do now, dear. He didn't sound much like a reporter, though. He kept calling me honey.
Tall, blonde, fast talker?
Why, yes.
And you gave him my picture?
Well, of course.
What was his name?
Oh, well, let's see. Funny name. I think it was Clouson. Lem Clouson.
But, Charlie, it's a matter of life and death. I've got to get a hold of Lem before noon.
Well, like I said, he ain't been in.
You sure he never told you where he works?
No, he's gumshoeing for some private detective outfit.
Oh, give me some nickels, lots of nickels. I got some telephoning to do. Acme Detective Agency. Do you have a man named Clouson working for you? Lem Clouson? No? Thanks. Brandon Agency? I want Mr. Clouson, Lem Clouson. Oh. Yeah, I guess I have the wrong number. Hawkshaw Detectives, I'm looking for a man named Lem Clouson. No, I don't want to hire you to find him. But you're the last one in the book. He's got... Okay, sorry.
No luck?
No.
I just remembered. Lem said the guy he worked for just opened up in town. Probably ain't in the phone book yet.
X-Tree, read all about it.
Go on, kid, get out of here.
Frank Teller, suicide. X-Tree, read all about it.
Ah, that fresh kid, just because I won't let him in here peddling his papers, he yells in the door.
Did he say bank suicide?
He yells in here every darn day. Oh. Hey, wait. Hey, you didn't finish your drink.
Hey, Newsy. Newsy. Hey, boy. Hey, newspaper. Boy. Give me a book, boy.
Read all about it. Bank suicide.
Hey, you, boy.
Paper lady?
Did you say suicide?
Right in the Second National Bank. You want a paper?
Yeah. Here.
Guy's wife steps out with another Joe. So the poor dope says, goodbye, Marge, and pulls the trigger. Here you are, lady. Bank suicide. Read all about it.
Well, well, if it isn't Margie.
Get away from me, Lem Clouson.
Heard you were looking for me. Well, here I am. Boy, have I got a lot to tell you.
Let me alone. I want to read.
Oh, that write-up's no good. Here, give it here. Yeah, that's better. Now, come on into Charlie's, and I'll give you the inside.
Give me back my paper, you murderer.
Murderer? Hey, wait a minute. Oh, I get it. You figure he bumped himself off on account of my report. That's a screwy part. He didn't even wait for the report. I got it right here in my pocket.
Take your hand off my arm.
Oh, look, honey, now, come on. You're coming into Charlie's if I have to drag
you. Why don't you leave me alone?
I figured you'd be sore. You might spouting off the way I did in Charlie's yesterday. But how did I know who you were? Yeah, here we are. Hey, Charlie, yeah. Two bourbon highs, double.
I don't want a drink.
Should have seen my face this morning when that screwy friend of yours gave me the picture of your bridge club.
Oh, never mind.
And there you were, as real as life and just as cute. I says to myself, why, you dumb ox, you got that little doll worried sick. And then when I read in the paper about my client giving your husband the gun to keep for fear he'll use it on himself, I think, holy cow.
What did you say?
And then I think, I bet she figures I planned the whole thing just to scare her.
What do you mean?
Oh, now don't try to kid me, Margie. You know you figured that client of mine was your husband. That he was going to bump you off?
You mean he wasn't?
No. Your name's Banning, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, my client's name was Dentler, Benjamin Dentler. Funny thing, his wife being named Margie, too. Yeah, I never thought he'd do it anyway.
Oh, I think I'd like that drink after all.
Well, here's to us, honey.
So that's the gossip Lorraine was trying to tell me. Dentler, the teller from Chicago.
You know, I've been thinking a lot about you.
And Arthur really was keeping the gun for a friend of his.
Hey, I'll tell you what, honey. I know a quiet little spot across town where we can eat, dance, anything we want.
He might have told me about Dentler.
It's a cute little place, baby. They got a knocked-out band, and what a floor show.
I wonder why Arthur wouldn't talk to me about it.
Well, what do you say?
Say? To what?
Well, you and me, honey. Our date.
Oh. You're asking me to step out with you?
Well... Why not?
How about my husband?
Oh, that mousy little guy. We got nothing to worry about from him.
But I thought you always said, beware the quiet man. You never know what they're really thinking.
But this is...
No but. If you'll pardon me, Mr. Lem Clouson, I'm going home and start his supper.
Thank you, Ann Southern, for a splendid performance. And now, here again is Miss Ann Southern.
I've enjoyed this appearance on Suspense very much. And as a regular Suspense listener, I'm looking forward to next week when Martha Scott stars in Crisis, a powerful study in...
Suspense. Southern appears by courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios, producers of Julia Misbehaves, starring Walter Pidgeon and Greer Garson. Tonight's suspense play was written by Toby Hall, with music composed by Lucian Morawick and conducted by Lud Bluskin. The entire production was under the direction of Anton M. Leader. Next Thursday, same time, you will hear Martha Scott in Crisis.
Suspense show. Good night. Switch to Autolite.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
All right, there's a terrific episode of Suspense. As I say, one of the best series of the Golden Age of radio is on 20-some-odd years, like almost 1,000 broadcasts, and that's Beware the Quiet Man, starring Ann Southern. Also in the cast, William Conrad and Betty Lou Gerson. And Paul Frees, who had a very, very deep voice, he played Boris Badenoff on the Rocky and Bullwinkle cartoons. He was the announcer on that program, sponsored by Autolite. It's heard on CBS. That was a broadcast from August 12, 1948. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater.
This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop, and let's play that movie clip one more time.
I was just protecting my guys. They were trying to kill our soldiers, and... I'm willing to meet my creator and answer for every shot that I took.
And we have Joan on the line from Bartlett. Hi, Joan.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good, Joan.
Good. We're glad you made it through, and we're hoping that you recognize that attractive voice.
Oh, I think it's the handsome Bradley Cooper.
You are right. He is handsome, and it is Bradley Cooper, and you have won two tickets to see My Son the Waiter, a Jewish tragedy. It's playing right now at the North Shore Center for Performing Arts, running through August 7th. It is a comedy, and it's about a man's struggle to make it as an actor in New York. Now, that is funny, right? Making
yeah.
it as an actor.
Well,
that can be, yeah.
Right, that can be funny. So check them out at northshorecenter.org, and we hope that you appreciate the show and let us know what you think.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
One time I got mistaken for Bradley Cooper.
Oh, I thought you were going to say for a waiter.
Yeah, no, for an actor.
For an actor.
Yeah, I got mistaken for him. They thought I was Bradley Cooper. I was like, no, I'm not. You know,
yeah, I get mistaken for all the time.
Yes.
Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, I
Everywhere
know.
I go, Everywhere. They're like, are you Scarlett? And I'm like, no, I just look a lot
I
like
get,
her.
I get Eric Bana.
Oh, yes.
Bradley Cooper. Mm-hmm. I get...
Benedict Cumberbatch.
No, you know who I really do get...
George Clooney?
No, I have had a few people just because our hair is the same. But, you know, when I was growing... Yeah, when I was growing up...
That's a toupee.
You know what people used to say I looked like? Chachi.
Oh, I love Chachi.
What's
I mean,
his
not
name?
Only Joni loves Chachi.
What's his name?
I love Chachi.
What was his name?
That's Chachi.
Yeah, but what's his name?
Joni loves Chachi. Everybody.
Scott Baio.
I loved him.
I used to get Scott Baio a lot.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, people thought I was...
You're kidding?
The other guy that they thought I looked like, although he's...
Look, he was a heartthrob.
Although this guy was a lot taller than me.
Well, of course.
Was the guy you like. That's Full House guy. What's his name? You know, the Greek guy?
Oh, John Stamos.
John Stamos. I used to get John Stamos.
I have a crush on John Stamos.
Growing up, though, when I was,
just
you
saying.
Know, when I wasn't 100.
Right.
When I was growing up, they said I looked like Scott Baio and John Stamos.
Well, that's not bad. If John Stamos is out there and listening, I'm just saying, just thinking about him, I'm getting a little nervous.
Really? You got a little crush on
I do. You
Scotty.
Know, because you know what we
on
talked?
Scott Baio or
no, it's John. We talked and he touched me and he put his arm around me and then I got a little fluttery.
Oh boy.
Yeah, and I couldn't
God,
I couldn't speak that well,
when that
but
happens.
I tried to talk, but I just nothing
You know what? That
came
same exact thing that same exact thing happened to me when what's her name kissed me. What was her name?
Somebody kissed you?
Yeah, I had a actress kiss me one time.
Yeah.
She kissed me right on the lips.
Was it Angelina Jolie?
No, it wasn't Angelina Jolie. It was
Jennifer
Heather
Aniston.
Locklear.
Oh.
Heather Locklear kissed me right on the lips.
So did you never watch that?
I did
them?
Not expect it.
I bet you didn't.
I did not expect it. And she did. She got up and kissed me right on the lips, and I was kind of like, whoa.
Yeah,
what the
well,
heck just
you
happened?
Know, just standing with John Stamos and his arm around me, I was ready to melt.
But did he kiss you on the lips?
No, but he touched me, and that was enough for me.
Where did he touch you?
I just had his arm around me.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure he remembers that.
Yeah.
No, it was very intimate. I'm
wow,
telling you. In my own brain.
Yeah, in your brain, you guys intimate. Were married
so
off on an island
if he
somewhere.
If happens to be listening, you know, just.
Is that what it was?
What?
He touched you and you were off on an island somewhere?
Pretty much, something like that.
Yeah, you were in La La Land.
He's on my bucket list. Just
definitely,
saying.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, hey.
Yay,
he's
know.
Not a bad looking man.
Look, you can be no married doubt. And still have a list. Just saying.
I don't think I washed my lips for a while after she kissed me.
I bet.
And I'll never forget it. It happened yesterday.
I know the feeling. You know? I know it.
Sometimes those kind of things happen. Well, you were sitting right next to Johnny Depp when you were on the movie set,
yes,
right?
Yes, we were in a limo together.
Was he nice? Did you have the same kind of warm feeling?
No. No, he wasn't warm.
No? Okay.
He didn't really talk to me.
But Johnny Depp, I mean, women love Johnny Depp. I mean,
I know, but...
Elif,
know,
do you like Johnny Depp? Is he...
He's okay, but
he's
I'm
just
not
okay.
Like...
Really?
Yeah.
Who are you over?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who like if
besides Carl?
Well, yeah.
Besides
I
Carl.
Mean, okay.
Okay. Yeah. I guess I have to rethink. Ooh. This.
Well,
I have to think
this
about
is
that
a good
one
answer.
A while.
Nobody. So it's just me.
You know, I like Ashton Kutcher a lot.
Yeah.
He's cute.
He's great.
He's just really, really cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. He definitely is. I can say that I am completely confident in my own manliness. I can say that.
Oh, I can see that.
I have no problem saying that.
Really?
No, not at all.
Good.
All right, so we're going to listen to an episode of Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. Want to do that?
Yeah, it's time.
All right, let's go back to a broadcast date of March 28th, 1952. Ann Southern was their guest. I think you'll have fun with part one now of the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis show.
Hollywood, we present the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis Show. Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis are brought to you by Anacin for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia, by Dentine, the gum with breathtaking flavor, by Beeman's Pepsin, the gum that's great to chew and good for your digestion, too. And now it gives me great pleasure to introduce our master of ceremonies, Dean Martin.
Hiya, folks. Well, it's Friday again all over America, all over NBC. Now, that means another session with Jerry and myself, Dick Stabile and the orchestra, and our very wonderful guest star. Now, we managed to put in another television show during the week and had a few production huddles on our new picture, all of which brings us to this evening's run around the Kilocycles. So, let's get underway with a touch of the Red, Red Robin.
When the Red, Red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Wake up, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get up. Get out of bed, cheer up, cheer up. The sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just the kid again, do what I did again. Singing a song when the red, red robin comes bob, bobbing along. Blue now, walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. Where the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to...
Hey, Ding, Ding, did you hear the news?
Yeah, will you take it easy? What news?
My cousin Myrna just won the Academy Award.
Your cousin Myrna? I hate to disillusion you, Jerry, but Vivian Leigh won the award from the Academy.
The Military Academy?
Military Academy? But how can Myrna go to a school for men? She's the only girl among all those men, and someone's bound to find out.
Think carefully, Dean. Who's gonna squeal?
Well, I guess you're right, Jer, but speaking of Academy Awards, what do you think about Humphrey Bogart and the African Queen?
Good heavens, is Bogart still running around with that Ubangi?
No, Jer, I...
Boy, that Lauren Bacall better watch her step.
Why?
Well, with those lips, that Ubangi can out-whistle baby.
Jerry, once and for all, how can you be such a nincompoop?
It's easy. Ever since I paid my nincom tax, I've been pooped.
Jerry... Can't you stop this talk? I'm trying to be serious and you keep joking. Tell me, who do you take after?
Well, last night I took after the hot check girl at Zero.
Well, there you go. Jerry, you seem to be a regular Lothario.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Why?
I don't know what it means.
Anyway, what was the girl's name?
Shirley.
Shirley?
Yeah, Shirley. S-H-I-L-E-Y.
Boy, you sure know some crazy girls.
That's nuts. I got one girl that's really nuts. She thinks she's the queen.
The queen of England?
No, the queen of clubs.
Oh. Queen of clubs. Boy, she must really be nuts.
She sure is. She's really the eight of spades.
All right. All right, Jack. Now, you've gone too far. How can a live girl possibly be the eight of spades?
Simple. She got a lousy deal.
There's no more time for this nonsense. We're expecting a very important guest.
That sounds frightfully exciting. And who is this sterling visitor, if I may be so bold as to ask?
None other than that famous big game hunter, Frank Bick.
Frank Bick? But he called up from Pasadena and said he had to go fox hunting.
Oh.
But don't worry, Booby. Old faithful Jared's always here to fill in. I'll be the big game authority.
All righty, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight it becomes my privilege to introduce that great and courageous big game hunter. The only man that elephants manage to forget. Mr. Frank Bick. Well, tell me, Mr. Bick, when did you first become interested in big game hunting?
Well, I'll tell you, boy. I really got interested the first time I saw Dagmar.
What does Dagmar have to do with big game hunting?
Oh, big game. I thought you said big dame.
No. Mr. Bick, I'm sure everyone would like to know how you started your fabulous career.
Well, when I was a young boy, my mother used to take me hunting with my brother Hans.
Oh, your brother was a hunter, too?
He used to be, but we had a terrible tragedy. One day, my mother took Hans and me hunting. Just as we ran out of ammunition, we were chased by a big black grizzly bear. We ran and ran. And suddenly I looked back and saw the bear catching up with my brother Hans. He got closer and closer to Hans, and then I had to break the news to Mother.
My goodness, what did you tell her?
Look, Ma, no Hans.
No Hans. Tell me, Frank, as a man who has hunted in every part of the globe, what was the most exciting thing you ever chased?
Well, there was that hat check girl at Shiro.
No, you don't seem to get that. You don't get me.
I didn't get her either, pal. Oh.
Mr. Vic, our amateur woodsmen are interested to know what kind of weapons you use for the hunt.
Well, once I went lion hunting with nothing but a club.
Lion hunting with a club? Weren't you afraid?
What for? This club had over 200 members.
Oh. Our time is about up, Mr. Vic, but before you go, perhaps you'd like to tell us about your most dangerous moment in the jungle.
Good boy. Once I saw a fella go right straight up to a giant leopard and stick his right hand straight down the leopard's throat.
My, what a courageous feat. What was his name?
We called him Lefty.
Lefty? No one's ever taken account of all the songs that have been written about the moon, but any music publisher will tell you that it must run into hundreds. Our daytime friend, the sun, has been pretty much ignored by our songwriters, at least up till now. He's just come into his own with a tune that's climbed high on our list of favorites. Please, Mr. Sun.
Talk to her, please, Mr. Sun. Speak to her, Mr. Rainbow, and take her under your branches, Mr. Tree. Whisper to her, Mr. Wind, sing to her, Mr. Robin, and Mrs. Moonlight, put in a word for me. Tell her how I feel. It shouldn't end this way, since you are all her friends. She'll listen to whatever you have to say. Babble to her, Mr. Brooks. Kiss her for me, Miss Raindrop. And watch to see they all do. Please, Mr. Sun. Kiss her for me, Miss Raindrop, and watch to see they all do. Please, Mr. Sun.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Elvis has left the building. That's Dean Martin right there, along with Jerry Lewis on the Martin and Lewis Show, special guest Ann Southern. We'll get back to this broadcast from March 28, 1952, in just a few minutes. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We're here every Saturday and Sunday night, so both weekend nights here playing classic radio shows. All your favorites, Jack Benny, The Shadow, Inner Sanctum, Suspense, Burns and Allen, The Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis Show. We're playing that right now. We play all your favorites, and the best way to let us know what you want to hear is you could either text us at 312-981-7200, or you can hop on, as they say, to the Facebook page, which is WGN Radio Theater, right?
Right.
And let us know what you want to hear. We'll be happy to play it. As I said, next week we have Dick Powell, a salute to Dick Powell with Richard Diamond, Private Detective, plus Lux Theater. Then on Sunday, Van Johnson with Suspense, him guesting on Jimmy Durante and the Screen Guild Theater. I'm looking at this date of this Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis show that we're playing. It's from March of 1952. They would be together a little over another 4 years, and then they would break up for good. They broke up on July 25th, 1956, which was 10 years to the day of their first teaming, which is really interesting. I wonder if they had some kind of contract or something that kept them together till for 10 years. I don't know. But they broke up exactly 10 years to the day from there. So they were together 10 years. Yeah. We've been together longer than that, haven't we?
Oh, for sure.
So we have been hosting a show since
2008.
Is that when? 2008? Well, so then it's not 10 years.
Oh, then it's not. No. You're right. Our math skills are great.
It just seems like it's a lot longer than it is.
A long time.
Yeah.
Well, it depends.
It seems like 30 years.
30?
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's kind of
like
30 years.
Kind of like a marriage.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, marriages could be good. You have a great marriage.
Yeah,
marriages can be great.
I don't think it would work out for us. I'm just saying.
No, no. all right. So I still believe in marriage. I'm a big believer in marriage.
Yeah,
yeah. I think marriage is great. For you know, two people that love each other and you know like being together.
Right.
I think it's important to like your spouse. I think like is more important than love. Don't you think? I think it's really important to like the other person.
You gotta
love
like
them. Love is easier. Love happens. Love is like love. You can fall in love. You know, love is easy.
I think we're turning into Dr. Ruth here.
But do you actually like that person, right, Elif? What do you think of that?
I think you're right. I may have just
stumbled upon something here.
It's the magic that's important.
You know, I think it's, yeah, this magic is important too. Abracadabra.
I think Carl wants to host a sex show or something.
Abracadabra. But I think that that's, don't you think it's true? Like, you like Dan. Dan is a very likable. Dan is super likable.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, you
have tons of fun with Dan.
Yeah, we have fun.
Isn't that important?
I think so.
Gotta like the other
person.
Maybe
you just, it's an epiphany for you.
Yeah. I want to go with that. I'm going to try liking someone.
That might be hard for you.
That might be fun.
That might
try
be
doing that. All right, let's get back to this. Let's go back to March 28th, 1952 for the conclusion to the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis Show with special guest Ann Southern.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've really been looking forward to the appearance of our guest tonight. She's one of our finest actresses, very wonderful person, and one of the most popular stars in the entertainment world. It's a pleasure to introduce the lovely and talented Miss Ann Southern.
Well, hello, everybody. Hi, Dean, honey.
Ann, it's wonderful having you with us tonight.
Well, thank you, Dean. I'm really thrilled to be here tonight. I can't tell you how much I've wanted to meet that adorable Jerry Lewis. Honestly, I think he's the cutest, sweetest, handsomest,
Anne,
most charming person I've ever met.
Look, Anne.
Oh, Jerry has verve and charm and character. He's tall, strong, and virile.
Anne, will you
wait? Oh, to me, that Jerry Lewis is simply fascinating. A man among men, you know.
Anne, will you just hold
Why,
it as...
Why, he has the
Anne.
Force.
Anne, who brought in these scripts?
I did.
All right, Jerry, let's cut out the nonsense. I want you to meet our guest. Remember her in all those Maisie rolls?
Maisie rolls? Are they anything like onion rolls?
Oh, Jerry, now this is Miss Southern. Miss Ann Southern.
Southern? From the chicken family?
Jerry, my name is Southern, but I have nothing to do with Southern fried chicken or onion rolls. They give you indigestion.
Jerry.
When you were born, are you sure the doctor didn't slap the wrong end?
which end are you supposed to slap?
Well, they usually slap, you know, the, I'm not going any further.
It says Jerry. You stop, you're supposed to stop her there.
I didn't want her. I wanted to see what she'd say. One wrong word and this is a garage tomorrow.
Jerry. Behavior, you're a disgrace to your family.
Wait a second. He comes from a family?
Well, I know it's hard to believe, Ann, but actually, Jerry is descended from a very fine family.
Mm-hmm. I think he descended a little too far.
Yeah. Well, I suggest we head right into our sketch.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. What's it going to be?
Well, tonight we thought we'd take a crack at a real old-fashioned soap opera. So, if everyone's set, suppose we turn things over to Jimmy Wallington.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis, and Ann Southern are proud to bring you another chapter in their version of that popular soap opera, Just Plain Balderdash. Yes, folks, it's time to visit that little white house around the corner. It is here that we meet the lovable characters in our story.
My name's Sidney. I'm married to Sandra, but I have fallen madly in love with Gretchen.
My name is Sandra. I'm married to Sidney, who has fallen madly in love with Gretchen.
My name is Gretchen. I think Sidney has the most excellent taste.
Yes, these are our beloved characters. And today we will see all their problems come to a head. As our scene opens, we find Gretchen waiting for the others to come downstairs. She is troubled and sick at heart, and she is sobbing softly.
Sob, oh, sob, sob. Sob, sob, sob. Oh, sob of a sob and sob, sob. Oh, I am sobbing over how much I love Sidney. I am also sobbing over how much I hate Sidney's wife. She's caused me nothing but trouble since the first day I met him. Hmm. Shh. I hear someone coming down the stairs. I was wrong. It was only the wind. Sue and I will meet Sandra face to face. I see her coming now. But I will be brave. Yes. I will be sturdy and defiant. No matter what she says, I will be strong. She cannot upset me.
Gretchen.
Yes?
Gretchen, I never thought you'd enter this house.
Why? Why didn't you think I'd enter this house?
I had the doors locked.
The day you locked the doors on me, yesterday you put razor blades in my shoes. The day before you threw boiling acid in my eyes. Last week you stuffed my pillow with black widow spiders. Sandra.
Yes.
You're not fond of me, are you?
Look, there's no use in discussing this without Sidney. We've been talking too long without him already.
Hello, Sandra. Hello, Gretch, baby.
Well, Sidney, well, now that you're here, I can speak. Sandra, I love your husband. I must tell you, even if you take my life.
But why? Why are you willing to throw away your life?
Because next month we're on the cover of Look. Comes out on the newsstands April the 8th.
Tell me, Gretchen, what is it you want me to do?
You must divorce Sandra, and then I will marry you.
You marry Sidney, but what about me?
Sorry, Sandra, I just can't marry everybody.
Sidney, are you really going to let this woman come between us?
Well, not all the time, honey.
Well, I can't take it any longer. You must make up your mind. She wants your pity, Sidney. I want your love. Tell us now, which of us do you choose?
I will make the only honorable decision. Gretchen, I'm going to stick with my wife.
What? Oh, no!
Gretchen, you're a fool. Why cry for a man you hardly know?
I love him.
But he's ruthless.
I love him.
He's shiftless.
I love him.
He's penniless.
He's penniless.
She's right. I ain't got a dime.
Penniless?
You said that before.
I know, but I got nothing else to say.
But Gretchen, how can you talk so cold and hard at a time like this?
I've led a hard life, Sidney, believe you me. When I was little, my father took me to the railroad station. Do you
hear?
Lots
of fathers take children to railroad stations.
To get run over?
No. Well, you know, Jerry and I have been together for just a little over 6 years, and it's been such great fun that it doesn't even seem like 6 months. Neither of us will ever forget the night of our first opening at the Copacabana in New York City. This was our first big opening, and everyone told us if we did well, we were really in. Well, we managed to get through in pretty good shape, and after the last show, we ducked the crowds and skipped back to the hotel. This seemed like the perfect time to talk of the past and plan for the future. Well, sitting in the room that night, Jerry flicked on the radio for a little mood music, and out of that speaker came a song that spoke volumes for both of us. So, Richard?
Do I want to be with you as the years come and go? Only forever, if you care to know. Would I grant all your wishes and be proud of the times? Only forever, if someone should ask, how long would it take me to be near if you beckon? Offhand, I would figure less than a second. Do you think I'll remember how you looked when you smiled? Only forever, that's putting it mine. Smile only forever, that's putting it
Did you really mean all those things you said before the song about how we would be together forever and ever?
Sure did, Jerry.
And you meant it when you said we would always be partners through thin and thick and everything should be 50-50 with us?
Well, of course, Jerry.
So where's the money?
May I interrupt for a moment to say goodnight?
Well, of course, Annie. And thank you for being with us, and you've really done a wonderful job.
I'm glad you think so, Dean. I really tried very hard and rehearsed all afternoon. And now that you say it came out all right, I can't tell you how happy I am.
That's very nice, Anne.
So where's the money? Well, seriously, boys, it's been fun, and I want to thank you both for a happy half hour.
Thank you, Anne. With a guest like you, how could it be anything but happy?
Good night, boys. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Anne.
Ladies and gentlemen, before Dean and I say goodnight, we'd like to leave you with a thought. While most of you are happy and healthy, there are still thousands of people in this country who are suffering from an incurable disease called muscular dystrophy. Our friends have asked us to explain why we have made muscular dystrophy our charity, so to speak. Well, Dean and I first leaped to the aid of MDA when we learned that here is perhaps the only major fatal disease that has never had a champion. There is no cure for muscular dystrophy now. If you have it, you die. But with the start of this campaign, the priceless gift of hope is now the possession of every sufferer of this dread disease. Dean and I are proud and happy that we were able to start this ball rolling, and we hope you will work along with us. If our scientists get the opportunity to continue their research, millions of future sufferers will have the opportunity to continue their lives. Money is urgently needed, and anything you can spare will be greatly appreciated. Please send your contributions to MDA, New York 8, New York. That's MDA, New York 8, New York.
Well, good night, folks. Till next week, this is Dean Martin.
And Jerry Lewis telling you that you can see our new picture, Sailor Beware, at your neighborhood theater.
Good night, and God bless you.
Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, from Hollywood, you've just heard transcribed The Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis Show, written by Ed Simmons and Norman Lear, produced and directed by Dick Mack, with music under the direction of Dick Stabile, and brought to you by Anison for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia, by Dentine, the gum with breathtaking flavor, by Beeman's Pepsin, the gum that's great to chew and good for your digestion, too.
Hear Phil Harris and Alice Faye Sunday at 7 on NBC.
And that's the Martin and Lewis Show, Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis, March 28th, 1952. Their special guest, Ann Southern. And you heard Jerry talking about muscular dystrophy. Of course, he stuck with that as his charity of choice for so long. I mean, nobody did more for muscular dystrophy than Jerry Lewis, raising probably hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars over the years. Because, I mean, he... I don't know if he still does it. I'm not sure because he's up there now. I mean, I'm not sure if he's still the person doing the telethons, but he did them his whole life, really, from this year, 1952, all the way till probably a couple of years ago. So you're talking about, you know, 50 years of really being a champion for that charity. You really have to take your hat off to him for that, because here was a very busy guy. I mean, making movies and all the stuff, and he always spent the time working for that charity. One of the writers on this, there was two writers, Ed Simmons and Norman Lear. You recognize that name, Norman Lear?
Norman Lear, of course.
Yeah, from
All in the Family.
All in the Family. Very good, Lisa. Yeah, he created. I don't know if he was the creator of All in the Family. I take that back. I think All in the Family was actually a British show. I think it was a British show called something different than All in the Family, and then they hired Norman Lear to be the head, you know, writer and of the American version of that show. But of course, very famous writer Norman Lear was one of the writers on this series. All right, let's take a quick break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. I want to remind all of our listeners, next Saturday, we'll be here with A Salute to Dick Powell with Richard Diamond, Private Detective, plus Lux Theater. And then on Sunday, it's A Salute to Van Johnson with Suspense, Jimmy Durante, and the Screen Guild Theater. And in the house is Nick DiGilio. What's up, Nick? How are you, buddy?
Good.
Good to see you.
Thanks, man.
Good to see you.
Too.
I was telling Lisa that yesterday I was having dinner at Volare right here. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had
food?
It's so good. Mm-hmm. Really, really good. And I am positive. I am absolutely positive that Meghan Trainor was sitting like one table away from me. It was her. I'm telling you, it looked exactly like her.
Wow.
But I was drinking some wine. I had a little libation. I had a glass of wine. And I swallowed a fly. Well, I didn't swallow it, but a fly was in my...
Were you outside?
I was outside, yeah. A fly got in my wine. And so that was... That was not good.
No.
Has that ever happened to you? Did you ever... I was riding a bike one time, fly flew in my mouth. That wasn't fun.
Yeah, no, that's happened.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever drank a
drunk fly.
Yeah. This fly was, we were having, you know, he was like, see my tunies? And I was like, yeah. Ossifer, you know. We had a little dialogue going there together. So what's on the show tonight this morning?
Movie reviews coming up.
All right.
With Eric and Colin. And also, we're halfway through the year, which is hard to believe.
Yeah.
And every year at the halfway point, we give our lists for the best and worst movies so far. This year. We'll be unveiling the best and worst of 2016 so far.
Well, can I just say I saw a movie the other day that I couldn't wait to see, and I saw it and I was really, really disappointed in it.
What's that?
And that is The Adventures of Tarzan.
Yeah. It's doing pretty well at the box office.
Yeah,
but you know, more people are seeing it than anybody.
Like it
it's hard to enjoy a Tarzan who wears khakis.
Yeah, he was wearing khakis. You know, and it just didn't do it for me, and I'm a huge Tarzan, you know, buff, mm-hmm. Which he's in the buff generally a lot of the times. But no, Tarzan is I've grew up with the Johnny Weissmuller movies and Buster Crab movies and all that, and this didn't do it for me. But I'll tell you, the best movie of the year so far, Jungle Book.